Well, praise God. It says in Scripture, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But secondarily, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living church. Because there's a greater expectation, I believe, and should be, in the Spirit and in the Word. And I appreciate so much the ministers in this house and this body and the depth. And I come humbly before you because I believe that God's birthed the Word on my heart. I recognize when the enemy stirs up the nest that you're touching a nerve. And I believe this is a nerve that often the enemy does come at us with. And I want to encourage you. My title tonight is Moments. And I realize that when we look through our life and if you look back, there's certain significant moments in your life. There's certain things that would probably stand out in your memory. And I'm not going to go through them or what they are, but I believe that, you know, God sets our course. And sometimes people are defined by that moment. But I want to encourage you tonight that, I was gonna try find an hourglass and turn it upside down, and then it reminded me of a cheesy old soap opera that some of you old people might know. See, my wife laughs; she knows. And I think it was something about the hour, the time, the days of our lives, something like that. But you can tell I didn't watch it. But I realized as you see that picture of the sand dropping, those are really the moments of our life. When God turns that hourglass of our life and sets us on a course, and as each sand moment drops through, there's a significance because that sand never goes back up. That sand never returns. And we are all, it says, teach us to number our days. And I believe that it's important for each one of us as we walk through life that we recognize the moments that God has for us and that we take grasp of those moments because we recognize that each moment is important. Each moment that we have is an opportunity of significance in your life. And as we delve into the Word, you know, each moment in the Word is of significance to each one of us. And I believe that God has a word for each of you tonight, and I encourage you to hang on to those moments. When God is speaking, to hang on to the moment when God speaks. There's times when God opens heaven and speaks into our heart, and it's a moment. And we can be defined by that moment if we grasp onto it, if we grasp onto that word, if we grasp onto what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. And I really believe that the life that consistently walks faithfully with God is because we take the most of those moments and we learn from them. 2 Samuel 8 and verse 15 says, David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, I'm glad we've changed our names in these last few years. And Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Sariah was the scribe. Benaiah was the son of Jehodiah and was above the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were the chief ministers. That there was an order set. There were ministers, there were those who were over and those who were under and those who were set into place within the administration of David's kingdom. And last time I spoke about the one, the three, and the 30, and that kind of brings a context to what we're talking about tonight. The vision or the story of the three that gave their life to David to have a drink of the water in Jerusalem as he came in and returned back. And they were set apart, they were signified as special in that group because of the sacrifice they made, the moment that they were defined by. Because there was many there that heard David speak, but they took the moment. And they changed, as it were, even, I don't know if they changed the course of history, but they really did in the sense of David's heart being melted, understanding that these three men would be willing to sacrifice just because of a desire to be back in Jerusalem. And I encourage you tonight that these moments and how we respond to moments, you see, every time a moment is really birthed out of an opportunity. A moment is birthed out of an opportunity. The opportunity lays there, and then what we do with it as the Word of God comes to us is really what defines us in that moment. And that these three were defined and set apart in Scripture and in history because of the response to a moment. They could have quite easily sat in that thing and said, boy, David, you know, go for it. And no one would have known any different. No one would have been any the wiser. But in that moment, they responded and they set their life in danger to grab water. And when David, he was so humbled by it, he poured it out as a sacrifice to the Lord. And said, how can I drink the blood of these men? That they laid down their life. And tonight we're going to move on past the three. There was the one, there was David, there was the three, there was the 30 mighty men of God. And within the 30 was Benaiah. And he's listed in here as the one who is the son of Jehudiah, who's over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites. He was set over the guard of David. He was his personal bodyguard. They guarded David. They guarded who he was. And in 1 Chronicles 11 and 24, it sums up Benaiah's life. He says, these things the son of Benaiah the son of Jehudiah did. And he won a name among the three. Among the three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30. But he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. He was number four. Now, in the Olympics and all those things, we never give a medal to number four. But Benaiah had a moment. And he wasn't concerned about being part of the three, maybe. He wasn't concerned about that. But as we see his life in just a few verses unfold, and we're going to unfold a little bit of that tonight, we realize that the position doesn't matter. See, sometimes we're worried about the position when it's really the function that God is after. It's the function that we're called into that God is after. It's what we deal with in that moment. And as we understand how, as Benaiah's life unfolds, that we recognize that it was a series of moments in his life that defined him. And what I found interesting as I researched this, the three are never named again in Scripture. their names are never again in Scripture. They're only in a verse or two of their actual names. But Benaiah goes through Scripture right into into Solomon's reign. And here is this number four who in the moments of his life made decisions and made choices that would honor both God and the king. And he was one who took, I believe, and seized the moment. In Job 7 and verse 17, it says, what is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every moment, every morning, and test him every moment. That I believe that our moments matter. Our moments matter to God. It's what we do in the moment. You see, because what we do in a moment is backed up by a life of commitment and desire for the Lord. See, how you respond in a moment is based on what you've been through probably before. And I want to encourage you tonight that we're not seeking the moment, but each moment. That it's as we build upon each moment, pretty soon we build a life that is a life of faithfulness and a life of grace and a life of ministry to the Lord and to one another. And that's what I'm talking about. It's seizing the moment, each moment, and saying, is this moment for the Lord? Or is this moment for me, or is this moment for something else? Because as we allow our moments to come and be for the Lord, pretty soon your life is etched and can be etched in history. What will be written of you? You know, sometimes I think back, if I was in this time, what would they say of my life? Because when we read what really happened to Benaiah, I think you'll be amazed. I was amazed at the significance of his life, yet he only has a few verses in all of Scripture. And if you and I were to be one like Benaiah, in these days, you'd be like a superhero. You know, Marvel would make a movie about you. But yet in Benaiah's days, there was just a few verses, but they were significant. They were significant moments because of the other moments that he had made decisions. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, moment by moment. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," that really we face light affliction in this world. And although it seems significant, it seems great, it seems sometimes insurmountable. When you look at what some others sometimes have faced or what Jesus faced, it really is light affliction. And it really is for a moment. When you look back over your life, you realize that many of those difficult times were only for a moment. And that there is a greater weight of glory being built into your life through that moment. Through that moment of affliction, through that moment of battle in your life. And if you'll understand and be even trained by it, you'll understand that those moments begin to build a strength and a character within us so that when we face a new battle, we come in stronger. We come in more confident. We come in more bold because we learn to rely on the Holy Spirit and on the Lord, and we know that He will carry us through. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us." Your light affliction right now is working for you. Isn't that interesting? I thought it was against me. No, it's working for you. And it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because as I take that moment of affliction and I begin to trust God and I begin to believe God for greater things, there is a weight of glory that comes behind. There is a weight of glory that He is preparing me for. Because when we come to that place and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it's the moment of affliction. It's the moment of opposition when the test of, are you going to be faithful in this moment? And so we need to look beyond the moment. We need to look beyond the affliction. We need to look beyond the now, that God is doing so much greater, a greater work of glory in each one of you. And if you will embrace your moments and give it to the Lord and trust God, there is an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, the moment is eternal. 1 Chronicles 11 and 22 gives you the backdrop to that verse 24 that we read earlier. It says, "Benaiah was the son of Jehudiah, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds." Here is Benaiah's, as it were, defining moments in life. And I think it began by being the son of a valiant man. He was connected to somebody. He had a father. And I realize not all of us have great fathers, not all of us had great upbringings, but we have a heavenly father who is a valiant man. And so none of us has, as it were, an excuse. And these are the short list of Benaiah's life. He'd killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. Now we can read over that. I read over that very quickly for most of my life. It was just a Bible story. But I'm guessing for Benaiah, it was a significant moment. Because the Moabites weren't a pushover. And these were lion-like heroes of the Moabites. And not only that, there was two of them. And I'm guessing that they were probably together. And in that moment, Benaiah, rising up in faith, in belief in God, understanding that his God was greater than any opposition, stood up and said, "These are nothing in the eyes of my Father who is in heaven." And sometimes we look at the opposition, we look at the monstrosity of what's coming against us, and we allow fear to hold us back. And I want to encourage you tonight that we would have more of a lion-like faith, that we can overcome the enemies that are lion-like. And I want to encourage you because I believe that in these moments, each one of us has the opportunity to grow and to move beyond that moment. We recognize David had moments. He killed his Goliath. He had faced the bear. He had faced the lion. He had a very similar training to Benaiah. And this is King David. He had also gone down, this is Benaiah, and killed a leopard or a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. That's an interesting story, I would think. There's probably some more that should be written about that. Because we understand that if you're in a pit, I've never been in a pit, but if you're in a pit, I'm guessing there's no way of escape. And in the pit is a leopard who sees you as dinner. And being leopard-like, he would like to eat you. And not only that, it's a snowy day. How many of you ever, you know, you go back in that parking lot, you know, we don't move too fast, right? You shuffle along these last few weeks, every little bit of ice. Can you imagine being in a pit with a leopard on a snowy day? Yet Benaiah, in that moment, you see, he had to get beyond the circumstance of the situation. Because the situation looked quite hopeless. But see, he understood something. That he had a God who not only created the leopard and the pit and the snow, but had given them the ability to overcome in the moment of opposition. And it built something within Benaiah, a trust in the Lord that would carry him into greater things and greater battles and greater places of opportunity in God. See, sometimes we forget that these little moments of crisis, I'm guessing Benaiah, if he was anyone like us, had a bit of a heart skip at that moment. Going, why am I in a pit with a leopard in the snow? And yet he recognized there was something that went deep within. And I'm guessing he was thinking back to the lion-like Moabites, because now he faced no lion-like, he faced a lion. There was no likeness to the lion. This was a lion. A greater opposition than what he had faced before, but the same faith, the same understanding, the same grace of God over his life. And he had to fall into the grace and the hand of God and say, "Lord, I trust you in this situation." And that is how we face moments of opposition. Am I going to look at the magnitude of the circumstance or the magnitude of my God? And is he a deliverer like he says he is? And that's where we begin to walk by faith and believe God for the moment. So it gets better. That's only one verse of Benaiah's life. In verse 23, he says, "He killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall," which I can't quite remember the math, but that would be 7 feet plus. So he's not quite a Goliath, but he's pretty close. He's probably taller than Benaiah. And in the Egyptian hand, there was a spear like a weaver's beam. It was a big spear. And he went down to him with a staff. Now, that, if you think about it, that is so close to, you know, King David's story. Here he goes down with his little, you know, probably a shepherd's staff. That's the only staff I can remember. And this guy's got a weaver's beam. That sounds big. You know, I don't know what a weaver's beam looks like, but it sounds big. It sounds like, you know, if you're 7 feet something tall and that's your sword, it's big. Right? Everything's big when you're 7 feet tall. And he comes down with his staff. And he wrestled. Just comprehend this. Comprehend this. This little Jewish boy, man, coming after and wrestling the giant and taking the spear, the weaver beam spear, out of his hands, and he killed him with his own spear. That is the heart of an overcomer. Of not looking at the moment and being afraid, but saying, no, I trust my God so much that I can take this guy and I'm going to take him, I'm going to wrestle him, and my staff isn't big enough, so I'm going to have to grab his spear and kill him with the spear. It's a man of faith. In a moment. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did. And he won a name among the three. These moments. These significant moments. And I realize this was a war time. This was a conquest time. So these great warriors. And we just get little glimpses of their life and what must have gone on. But Benaiah, through the same faith of those three, even though he was named among the three, he wasn't the three, but he was named among the three. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three, and David pointed him over his guard. This Benaiah. Job 7 and 17 says, what is man that you should exalt him? That you should set your heart on him? That you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? See, Benaiah had a relationship with the Lord. And I assume it started every morning. See, every morning our alarm goes off. And it's a moment. What do you do with that moment? Is this a moment to be with the Lord? It says every morning the Lord is there to visit with us. It's a moment. And as we walk through each day, there's moments of testing. Am I going to trust God? Testing isn't a pass or fail. Testing is, am I going to trust God in this moment? You see, Benaiah, I'm sure, had mornings where God would visit him so that he came with a confidence in his relationship with God that when he met that Egyptian in that moment, he knew that it was just a test. And he was going to believe God and press through and see God move and see the faithfulness of God. And he was going to stand because there was a time coming. Listen, we all need to understand, there is a time coming for each one of us. And this moment now, what gets into your spirit and your heart now, words that get into our heart to encourage us, are for a moment that is yet coming. You may be in the test now, or you may be in a test next week, but these words, if you don't get it into your spirit that God loves you and cares for you and will never leave you, no matter if it's a snowy day with a leopard in a pit, God is there for you. You will be discouraged in that moment, and you may not be strong enough. But we have a faithful God. And he can bring us back to that moment. See, part of what I believe is the working of the Lord is he takes us to a moment, and if we fail, he brings us back and then brings us back to that moment. He's a God of faithfulness who wants to take us from glory to glory. He doesn't want us to keep stepping backwards. But he wants to take us to that point of glory and then step through. Step in. step into the fullness that he has for us. And so I encourage you tonight that God has moments for each one of us. God has a time and has a place for each one of us. That God has us in his hand. So what are the keys to moments? And I believe these keys are not just about moments, but it's about the person that God is building within us. It's about being the Benaiah, being the one who is faithful to the end. You see, when Benaiah comes to the end of his story, it's when Adonijah is trying to take over and become king. And Solomon is there and God Solomon was God's choice to be king. But Adonijah, who had the right to be king, you see, you have to understand, Adonijah had the right to be king. He was the fourth son, Solomon wasn't. But God had a different plan. And sometimes we can walk in the natural and think it's our right, and we miss the purpose of God. And Benaiah was there, and I wish I could expound it more, but he was one of those who stood with David, with the priest and the prophet, and with Solomon. And many went over to Adonijah, but there were a few that were faithful to the call of God, to the word of the Lord, and they stood faithful. So point number one, I was encouraged that this was going to be a short sermon, so I trust that was a word of knowledge and not faith. Point number one, being obedient. The point to living in the moment is being obedient. To being a one or a three or a 30. There is a level of obedience to the Lord and to those around. Because there's a place for each one of us. See, Benaiah could have been upset that he was named among the three but was really number four. And sometimes the enemy can use that. He can use our position or lack of position to sidetrack us. And we never come into the fullness. That was the interesting thing. Benaiah was there for, you know, years later, still being faithful, still working, still being written in the scripture. And if he would have resented the three, he probably never would have got to that place. And I really believe this is an important point. And part of being obedient, and please hear what I'm saying, it's more than just being obedient to the Lord. But I believe it's being obedient to those he has as authorities in our lives. And I know we don't preach authority as much anymore, we don't, but there is an authority. God entrusts people in our lives, ministers, you know, to cover and care for us. And if we step out of that covering, we're on our own. And sometimes being on your own isn't the best place to be. Being obedient. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Being faithful in being a steward. See, as the body of Christ, as ones who are faithful, you see, Jesus set the precedent, and that's why I talked about last time. Jesus set the precedent that he gave himself. He emptied himself and became a man that we could be made complete. He denied himself that we could be made whole. And that's the beginning of being faithful, of being obedient, is beginning to recognize that we are servants of Christ. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be as wool. if you are willing and obedient. How many of you kind of cringe when you hear obedience? We've been trained in our culture, you know, when we hear obedience, I don't know if it's you, but, you know, that sinful nature just kind of cringes. But it says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You want to eat of the good of the land? Be willing. Lord, I'm willing. And then when he speaks, Lord, I'm obedient. I'm willing and obedient. Matthew 24 and verse 45 says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant who his master, when he comes, will find so doing. That is the definition of faithfulness. The master speaks a word and he comes back to check the work and the servants are doing it. It says Jesus is going to come back. He says, will he find faith or faithfulness in the earth? That's part of being obedient and being willing. Point number two. And each of these points are defined by moments. If you think of a moment in your life, it's a decision. Am I going to be obedient to the word of the Lord in this situation, or am I going to do it my way? It's pretty simple. God's way, my way. And as we begin to take and make those decisions in that moment, it begins to define who we are. And when we come to the end of our life, for God to say, well done, good and faithful servant, it means we were faithful in the moment. In those moments that defined us. Someone just doesn't wake up one day and decide to be faithful. It's through learning through those moments, I'm going to trust God in this moment and be faithful and serve. And as we build these moments, it turns into a life. Point number two, being discipled. We are part, I don't want to say that, it'll hurt too many people. Jesus started this ministry through discipleship. He had disciples. Now, Paul says, you know, we have many instructors, but I would that you had a few fathers to Timothy. And I realize this is countercultural in our culture today. Because discipleship is tied to servanthood. If I am unwilling to be a servant, I will never be a good disciple. Right? Jesus walked, you know, it wasn't like poof, and all of a sudden there was a ministry. He walked with these young men for 3 years, and they went through testing. They went through trial. They went through denials. They went through pain. They went to a place of brokenness. But through that process of discipleship, they became faithful. Except for one. Because his desire was greater than the Lord's desire in his own life. And so, discipleship is important. Who are you being discipled by? Is it, please hear me, is it an instructor? Now, instructors are okay, but they clock out at 5 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whatever they do, right? You go to school, it's like, cha-chunk. Probably a good instructor thinks about his students, but I'm pretty sure they spend most of the evening trying to forget, if you've ever instructed anybody. But a good father will lay awake at night, concerned for the children, concerned for their well-being, concerned for who they're going to be, who they're going to walk through life with, all these different things. It's a good father. And because of that good father, there's a discipline that comes with fathering that is different than the discipline that comes with instructors. You see, With an instructor, it's a pass or fail. With a father, please hear me, it's a pass or pass. Okay, you failed, we're going to work towards getting you passed. There's a longer-term vision that comes from a father because he wants to build something within you that's far greater than the moment. And so when you fail, like Jesus, he'll pick you up and say, okay, let's move on. Let's move forward. There's a life that lays ahead. And as we become good disciples of the Lord, we begin to realize that this life is far greater than this single moment. But it's a series of moments in God. Luke 14, great multitudes went to him and he turned aside. And verse 25, and he says, if anyone comes to me and he doesn't hate his father and his mother and his wife. And you understand that Jesus isn't talking about hating, but he's saying, make a separation. In other words, if you love your earthly father and mother more than you love me, you've got a problem. And sometimes, my time up so I can't get myself in trouble. Sometimes we listen to our earthly father. Anyone under 18, this doesn't apply to you. But we can let bad counsel from earthly fathers and mothers trip us up in our walk with God, and we can't receive God as a father. And please forgive me, because you know some people have had lousy parents. But at some point, you got to get past what your parents did, your earthly parents, and get to know your heavenly Father. Because your heavenly Father is there for your good. Your earthly parents were not sure. But your heavenly Father is there for your good. And if you allow your, and that's what Jesus is saying, if you allow your earthly parents to hang you up that you don't begin to understand how awesome your heavenly Father is, you're in trouble. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. There is a place in discipleship where we have to come to the end of ourselves. And I'm not talking salvation, I'm talking discipleship. And there is a difference. Salvation is about what he did on the cross. Discipleship is what I do because of what he did on the cross. It's about following him. And I come to a place of coming to the end, a moment, a decision. Am I willing to come to the end of myself to see him glorified? And that's where we begin in discipleship. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. How many lives came to an altar and committed to Christ, but didn't understand the cost? And they couldn't finish the tower that God intended them to build. And it comes down to, there's a moment in that building of the tower where it says, is it going to be me or is it going to be God? And every disciple will face that place. Am I going to trust God enough to lay down my life? To see the tower built. Point number three. So being obedient, being discipled, being faithful. Luke 16 and verse 10 says, he who is faithful in the least is also faithful in the much. And then in verse 12 it says, and if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? This ties to obedience, discipleship, faithfulness. Are you willing to be faithful with someone else's ministry, life, finances, whatever it is? And that's the place of discipleship, of faithfulness. You see, Benaiah could have said, well, boy, I know David's giant was 9 feet, but, you know, seven and a half, not bad. And maybe I'll go over here and start my own kingdom with my own following. See, that's what Adonijah did. He said, his father never disciplined him. And he just kind of gathered his own group of priests and prophets that would listen to him and tried to build his own kingdom. And too often, there's been times and seasons when, and listen, the enemy will come. If you make a decision of discipleship, the enemy will come and give you reasons to build your own kingdom. And that is a moment of definition. Will you be faithful in another's? Because if you're not faithful in another's, how can you be faithful with your own? And I want to encourage, I know we're going deep, and I know we're plowing hard, and I know we're plowing a little bit long, but not too long. But I think this is important. Because of the strength that will be built within you. See, if you're faithful to another's, and please, it's like an umbrella. You know, I'm going to take a short aside. The umbrella of this house, and please hear me, I had my own little umbrella for a little while. You know, God had called me to pastor a church, but the umbrella under this house is far greater and far safer than the little umbrella God gave me. This is, I don't know if this is funny or not, but I can remember thinking as a pastor, how can I buy a light, a shiny light? And I know this is just natural, but my light wouldn't even make it on this stage. It's in my basement because it's just too small and too unimportant. And then God shuffles things. And all of a sudden, I'm in this house, and it's not about the lights, and it's not about all, but just hear me. Sometimes we can get so focused on the littleness of our little kingdom, we don't understand the greatness of what God wants to do. And I believe that God, there is a greater weight in, I'll maybe save this for next sermon, but there's a greater weight in the bigger umbrella. But if the bigger umbrella, it requires a greater reach of stability and strength. Think about your little umbrella in a windstorm or your big umbrella. If it doesn't have the proper reinforcements, which means all those reinforcements are arms and strength. There's not one little pole. Your umbrella, one little pole in the windstorm, it's gone. But as there's strength in the structure, which was King David. I started with the verse from King David as I closed. There was a structure, and Benaiah was part of that structure. He was one of many that carried the structure. And as you begin to see a house built and the work of the Lord built, it's important to find your place in the structure. And that's part of being discipled, being faithful, being obedient. See, if every point of the structure has those components, then the whole structure can hold together. And when the storm comes, the umbrella doesn't fold up. You see, there's... I better stop. You better start playing. But in our society, there is a lot of... I'm trying to think of the right nice word for this. Christian structures that have no strength, and when the storm comes, they're gone. And I believe it was because in the moment, the building blocks weren't built. That those that were part to be discipled and to be obedient made the wrong decision in the moment. And that's why for each one of you, and I just want to bring it down as we close, take this moment and think about, what does God have for me in this moment? Am I willing to go through the process of first being obedient, of being discipled, of being faithful? And my last point, which I'm not going to preach, is being sent. Scripture says, go and make disciples. If you aren't a disciple, you can't go and make disciples. And sometimes we go without being sent. And we go in our own strength and our own power, and does not have the fullness of the Lord's blessing behind it because it was out of order. And so I believe that being sent is important, and I'm going to close. Let's stand and we'll pray. Because I believe God is beginning to birth something in this house. I mean, it's been birthed, but maybe this is a little next step. For something far greater. And it begins with the seed that is sown in this moment. And it's up to us to take that seed and cultivate the soil. Am I going to make soil that is obedient and willing to receive the seed so that I can produce fruit in my life? And I would encourage each one of you as we just stand before the Lord and as Pastor Mark just closes us out, that we would look at the seed or the soil within our own life. The atmosphere we've created. The moments. Say, God, I want your seed in my soil. And Lord, teach me how to be obedient, to cultivate that seed, to disciple that seed, to be faithful. And as I look at those around me and I understand that God has put me under and in an umbrella, in a structure, not for the betterment of the individual, but for the betterment of the greater, that I would begin to understand my part and my place. And so, Lord, tonight we come before you humbly. And God, we say, in this moment, in this moment, may I choose correctly. May I listen more correctly. May I act more correctly. That when the pages of my life are written out, they would be pages of faithfulness. And not failure. Pages of glory and not defeat. And so, Lord, I pray for every servant here tonight, God, as they take this word and allow it into their spirit, God, may it produce fruit. And that, Lord, as we go out these doors, we recognize how important each moment is, that tomorrow morning when that alarm clock goes off, that moment is a moment in the Lord. And we pray your blessing over that moment, over this house, over each individual, over each ministry, over each person, God. For the furtherment of your glory and your grace. Amen. Amen.
Listen to the wheel overcome. Blood of air, we're fire tested.